Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the ninth day of July, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is, Whom Do You Trust? We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prynhanda, Cymru Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, so just pastordan.net. And, thank you, Ella. Appreciate that. On the website, want to remind you that the Daily Mail page is where we put updates about what's going on in the world around us. It also has health information about the identity message, etc. The home page, which is the first page of every website, the home page is where you will find information to help us out financially if you feel so led to do so. And for the folks out there that are, we ask Yahweh to bless your hearts. If you find, you don't have my personal contact information. Recently, my phone has changed, by the way, for the folks out there that do talk to me on the phone from time to time. My carrier did some very nefarious things and ended up deactivating my phone and made it impossible for me to keep my old number. Customer service isn't what it used to be. Let's just put it that way. So, long story short, I ended up with a brand new number, and if you cannot reach me for some reason and you do not have my email address, then go to PastorDan.net, and the webpage has their Contact Us. That's one of the pages, or the tabs, if you will, the tabs at the top of the screen. It says Contact Us. If you put a message in there, I will get it, and then I'll reach out to you. So that is a change here recently, and you need to be aware of that. Again, one of the old adages that we talk about here, because our people seem to be in a state of fear, which is not good, and that's one of the reasons for today's message, In Whom Do You Trust? Do not be afraid to fail. Okay, I know this one very well, because as a youth, I was afraid to try new things because I feared failure. Do not be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. And praise Yahweh, even though I did have a fear of failure, He also gave me a very strong curiosity and a desire to learn new things. And so that forced me to try new things. And eventually, as I got older, I realized that fearing trying new things is silly. And get out there and make mistakes. Okay? You're always going to make mistakes. Nobody's going to get it right the first time. Almost never. So you get out there, you try your best. And if it doesn't work, then you back up, do a check and adjust, and try again until you succeed. But you never, ever give up. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. That's the formula. So you can want to high heaven all you want, but you're going to get what you work for. If you don't work for it, then you're silly to expect to get it. Okay? Again, Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. I hope everybody's paying attention. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model, which is created by our Antichrist overlords, the existing model obsolete. Now, since the existing model is built on lies, deception, extortion, blackmail, It will fail on its own. It will fail. All the righteous have to do is build a new model. Not new in concept, because the scriptures and the truth has always been out there, but new in the sense that people today have not been living according to God's law. They've been chasing after the almighty dollar, and therefore giving power to the enemies of Christ. Some people call them Jews, and giving them power through the purse. The terrible power of the purse is what's in your Bibles. That's what it's talking about. People that control money and the flow of money, if you worship money, they own you. If you worship the living God, Yahweh, then money has no power. It really doesn't. Now, money is a tool to do good works, but you don't worship it. You don't bow down to it. You don't seek it above being honest and having integrity. That's what the scripture means. The love or lust of money is the root of all evil. You could virtually say every evil thing being done today, if you go down the rabbit hole chasing the dollar, supporting it, you will find the same root all the time. People who lust or love money for money's sake. That's why doctors and nurses are going along with this whole scam thing. It's been 3.5 years. It's hard to believe, isn't it? 3.5 years, and there's still people supporting the idea of COVID, this thing called COVID. COVID doesn't exist. It never did exist. It was the common cold or the flu. It's been around forever. And yes, people die from the flu. Go read the historical documents, okay? It's statistics of how many people die of flu every year. Every year. And yet, your Jewish-controlled media come out and called it COVID, and all of a sudden you have a new disease, and everybody's running around like chickens with their heads cut off. What the hell's wrong with you people? All you had to do is look at the statistics. The flu statistics went to zero. COVID took over and had the same exact numbers as flu. In fact, the flu killed more people. That just shows you how weak our people are, mentally and spiritually. And that's why today's message, whom do you trust? The talking heads on TV? The shills within the government? The shills within the medical establishment? Do you believe them? Do you trust them? If you're a fool, you do. Excuse my French, but it's the truth. Especially today, after what we've seen the last 3.5 years, are you kidding me? You would trust these people? Unbelievable. Henry David Thoreau told us, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. You see, we're all whacking away at the branches when there's 1 out of 1,000 wise enough who has enough discernment to know that the root of all of these nefarious things going on is the same root. Thousands of branches coming from the same trunk, the same root of that tree of evil. And yes, that evil tree has Jewish names, Jewish money, and Jewish faces all over it. Now, there are those out there that say, well, you can't say that, Dan. That might be termed hate speech or anti-Semitism. Excuse me, but where in Scripture does it say that we are to be silent in the face of evil because of names that they might call us? Well, yeah, but Dan, they might actually try to take you to court or put you in jail. Well, yeah, the enemy certainly can try to do that. But again, please show me in Scripture and by the Holy Spirit where we're told to sit on our ass and allow evil to prevail because of what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? Okay? Lots of what ifs. And again, that's a sign of fear, folks, not faith. Nope. Fear. That's what that is. The enemy thrives on fear. In fact, the mainstream media, their function from day one, their has been to generate fear, because people that are afraid are easily persuaded. People that are in a state of fear are easily manipulated. And yes, the Jews figured it out a long time ago. You would think by now Yahweh's people would be wise to the machinations of the Antichrist. Sad to say, we're not. It's unbelievable, but we're not. We're still easily fooled, easily manipulated, and it is an astonishment to me. So, again, whom do you trust has a lot to do with why so many people are, quote, afraid today. So we're going to go through some Bible verses that tell us who you should be trusting, who you should be fearful of in the sense of revering, versus the little g god called government, the little g god called entertainment, the little g god called mainstream media, and the little g god called medical mafia. Okay, these idols. Okay, a lot of people today, oh, Dan, that was done thousands of years ago. We don't worship idols today. Oh, really? You might not get down on a prayer rug down before a statue, but you sure as hell do worship idols. Figuratively, okay, maybe not literally as it was done thousands of years ago, but figuratively, and look it up in a dictionary if you don't know what that means. Figuratively, you sure as hell do worship idols today. And I just mentioned four of the most prominent idols that our people literally worship, revere, praise, live in fear of, these idols. Now, if you're not quite sure whether idol worshipers are something that's good or bad, you might want to look it up in the book. Idol worshipers don't fare very well in Scripture, do they? Idol worshipers in history don't fare very well either. So the outtake of that would be stop being an idol worshiper. All right. So again, these verses are under the topic of who do we trust in this day of lies, deception? The Bible calls it a famine for truth. Famine is what? A scarcity of it, a lack thereof, such as famine of food, which, by the way, the powers that should not be are trying to slow down the supply chain, not because there actually is a shortage. Remember the fuel shortages of the 70s. I lived through that. I can tell you for a fact, there was no shortage of gasoline ever in the United States. Ever. It was a man-made shortage by shutting off pipelines, gasoline trucks dumping their fuel in abandoned gas stations, etc. We saw it all. All right? All of our shortages have been man-made in order to drive you, the cattle, or as the Jews call us, the goyim, stupid cattle, Shabbos goy, stupid cattle, to drive you to do what they want, just like somebody on a ranch drives cattle from one pasture field to another. Farmers do it for a good reason. The Jews do it for evil, driving you from one state of mind to another one, constantly in fear, constantly under the influence of lies and deceptions, false flags, etc., etc. So again, we've said it for years. There is no terrorism in the world, folks. Not homegrown, naturally occurring terrorism. There isn't. Men know how to live at peace with one another when they're left alone. It's just a natural thing. Unless he's a criminal. Now, criminals pop up every now and then, but if we followed God's law, they wouldn't be around for very long. So if you get rid of the criminal element, we all know how to live at peace. Terrorism is a function of government. Okay? The terrorists are government-led, government-trained, and government-financed. That's a fact. So anytime you see the word terrorism or terroristic activities, blah, 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 that's a fear tactic, okay? Stop it. There are no real terrorists, except those that are created and funded by government, all right? There's no real money anymore. It's all digital. That's why there's such chaos, because people are starting to figure it out. Money created out of thin air inside a computer is of no value, no intrinsic value. It defies the very definition of a legitimate currency, which philosophers have been talking about this for thousands of years. And yet people today are dumber than stumps when it comes to what currency is supposed to be, what real money is supposed to be. And therefore, we run around like chickens with our heads cut off. Oh, my God, what is the Fed going to do? Save me, save me. And you're going to the same people who created this mess and asking them to save you. Oh, just to get Donald reelected, it'll be okay. Really? He already had 4 years in there. What really changed? I'm talking about of significance. I'm talking about as far as a godly, righteous nation. How did we become more righteous and godly during his 4 years? All right? You haven't had a real righteous leader in this country in my lifetime. You haven't. You might think you've had a good guy in there, but you haven't had a righteous leader in my lifetime. So that's 70 years. And beyond, actually. But in my lifetime that I have witnessed. If he was a righteous man, the powers that should not be would never allow them to sit in the White House. There's too much money involved. Let's face it, if athletics is no longer true, it's all rigged, professional sports. If they rig that because of the money involved, you don't think they're going to rig your life and our politics and our government for the trillions of dollars involved in the phony money system, the Babylonian money system? Come on, folks. If they're willing to pay off athletes and rig games for the slightly higher than billions of dollars, and you're now talking about trillions of dollars, which, by the way, a few years ago, nobody even heard of the word trillion, and already it's running into the multiple tens of trillions of dollars. That shows you right there that you've got a fiat currency system. And people are scratching their heads. Gee, I don't know why my paycheck doesn't buy what it used to. Well, it's because the Jews don't want it to. It's a transfer of wealth. Family farms disappearing, going into the hands of Jews. family factories, family-owned businesses disappearing, going into the hands of Jewish bankers. How many times do you have to see this show before you figure out the theme, before you figure out the plot to this movie? These people are not your friends. And this church world out here that's praising these people as if they're God's, quote, chosen people, what fools they are, giving their allegiance and money to Satan's kids. Talk about insanity. We have truly become an insane people on this earth. We'll start out here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, now pay attention here, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to Yahweh God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, here again, why is everybody afraid? Because they forgot about this part right here. You have to have faith. Most people, they really don't. And there's people who have deluded themselves to say that they do when actually, no, you don't. And as we get down through these verses, you're going to see fear is a sign of the lack of faith. Okay? And again, for whoever would draw near to our Father Creator must believe that he exists and, here's that conjunction again, and that he rewards those who seek him. It doesn't say he punishes those who seek him, does it? There's no sense in punishment to those that seek him and have faith in him. Come on. The fires that we feel today are because of our lack of faith and our lack of belief. We as a nation ceased to be of Yahweh long ago. We act more like Jews today. All of us do. They have much more influence on the behavior of the average white man and woman today than the church or Yahweh himself. Because we've become lovers of materialism, lovers of gold and silver, lovers of, now, digits in a computer. We'll sell out our businesses. We'll sell out our souls. We'll sell out our family members for what? Digits in a computer. You don't even have a bag of silver. Judas betrayed Christ. At least he had a bag of silver. Didn't do him any good, but at least he had something of value in his hand. You're selling out Christ and yourself and your family for digits in a computer that can be erased in a nanosecond by the powers that should not be. And yet, you've got faith in them. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in Yahweh God, whose word I praise. In Yahweh God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? So David, very wise man, if you find yourself afraid, that means you need to pray harder and come closer to your Father. 1 John 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, this love affair that's being referred to by John is the love affair between you and your Creator. That's the perfect love he's talking about. He's not talking about human love, because, to be quite honest with you, that's really hard to find, especially today. There's no such thing. You can love, you can care for. I personally like the word care more than I do the word love, because I've heard many people use the word love, and they don't care about anybody. They don't even care about themselves, but they'll use the word love like every other word. Love, 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 love. However, their actions don't show it. So the perfect love is the love between you and your Heavenly Father. That's why it says in Scripture, He sticks closer than a friend. If you want the perfect relationship, it's with your Father first. Then you have a chance at a meaningful, semi-perfect love with humans, with men and women here on earth. But you got to start with that love of the Father. Psalm 37, verse 5, commit your way to Yahweh, trust in Him, and He will act. And again, I have to say that in my lifetime, my commitment to the Father has never betrayed me. In fact, if anybody was the weak link in that chain, it was me. But the Father never forsook me. He never abandoned me, ever. Even in the darkest of days, even when I was feeling that the whole world was going to come down on my shoulders, and my world as I knew it here was going to vaporize, the enemy was going to win up against Goliath, is what it felt like. And yet, looking back, I can attest to the fact that the Father never, ever abandoned me. And as we're going to read in Scripture here, all things do work to the good for those who love the Father. They really do. So if you find yourself being anxious, if you find yourself doubting, that's you allowing the enemy, the spirit of the enemy, to take you away from your relationship with your Father. And you can't allow that to happen, whether it's an external force or your internal self-doubt. You cannot allow that to happen. Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, I've got a caveat for folks on this one. I've told you that Yahweh is not a genie in a bottle. Whatever you ask in prayer, and I know Christians, or at least those who call themselves followers of the way, many of them, churchgoers, believe that anything I ask for, again, rubbing the bottle with genie on the inside, I'll receive it. I just have to have faith. And if I don't get it, it means my faith is not strong enough. I always struggled with that. Even as a teenager, that verse always bothered me. And it's because other scripture will tell you your prayers and what you ask for should be in accordance with His will. Now, if I sat here and prayed for $5 million to drop out of the sky and land in my lap, do you think the Father's going to bless me with that? I'm going to guarantee you that's not going to happen, okay? Because if His will was that I had $5 million to do His work upon this earth, I'd have it already. That's not His will. And He's not pleased that I would even ask Him for that. When we get up in the morning, our prayers on our bed before we get out of bed. 10 to 15 minutes, spend it in time with the Father, at least. Before you go to sleep at night, when your head's on that pillow and you're relaxing and thinking about the day you just had, 10 to 15 minutes with the Father. For those who have insomnia, you might find out that you're sound asleep before you even finish your prayers. And it's okay, because the Father already knew what you're going to ask for before you even started. It's the fact that you took the time to communicate that matters. But you want to talk to the Father. You see, it's His will. In fact, your prayer ought to be, Thy will be done on earth in my life as it is done in heaven. Okay? You got to keep that in mind, folks, especially in these dark days. And it is dark as far as confusion and lack of rational thinking and intelligence. It's like we truly are in the movie Idiocracy. I mean, literally, we're in that movie right now. It is amazing at the lowering of the IQ, and maybe this jab and the other poisons they're putting on us have something to do with it. Or maybe it's our Father. Think about it. He said he was going to separate the wheat from the chaff. All right. Is that happening right now? I got news for you. Yeah, it is. So you can blame the New World Order, the Jews, Trump, all the rest of them. And yeah, they're all scum. But the good news is everything is done according to the will of our Father. And you say, well, why would he want that? Think about it, folks. Why would he want that? First of all, he's going to find out who the true believers are. Second of all, who have faith in him and who don't. And those who love the idols more than they do the living God. Has that not happened in the last 3.5 years? I got to tell you, yes, it has. In my circle of friends and coworkers and family, oh, yeah, it's been a great revealing of who's who. We have a doctor in the family that our entire family is now excommunicated because we found out he's a piece of shit, worshiping money more than telling the truth about this scam-demic. Now, up until 3.5 years ago, we all thought he was a good guy. He married into our family. We thought he was a good guy. He had children and was raising them properly. They had a nice house. Only to find out he is a POS. Yes, that means piece of shit. And more than willing to push the vaccines and the lie of COVID. So now he is an outcast amongst our family. And there's other family members as well. So praise Yahweh. He made it easy. Did he not say that he would send the messengers to separate the wheat and the chaff? He didn't leave it up to you and me, did he? No, that's funny. I looked at it in the book. Yep, that's right. He said it's not up to you. Why? Because I would have counted him, the doctor, the member of my family, I would have allowed him onto the boat. The boat similar to the one in Noah's day. Meaning, I would have let him into the kingdom because I was ignorant of his heart. I was ignorant of his lust of money. I sure as hell wouldn't open the door for him today. In fact, I'm like the rest of the family. We don't communicate with him by any means, and we don't associate with them by any means. So we can focus on the negative and think that the enemy has all power, and yet, is there something good coming out of this? Yeah, it's making people realize who's who, but it's also amongst the family of believers, making them become stronger. They're reaching out to each other more than ever. They're networking with each other. They want to form communities together. That didn't happen until 3.5 years ago when Yahweh allowed the enemy, just like in the book of Job, allowed the enemy to deceive us. Not overcome us. I don't know about you folks, but my health's pretty good. I just hit that big 70 and I feel pretty good. Most of my friends don't believe I'm as old as I am. So did the last 3.5 years hurt me? No, I never put a mask on. I sure as hell wouldn't put anything from the pharmaceutical company in my body. And I sure as hell wouldn't go to a clinic or a hospital. Haven't been to one, won't go to one. So was I hurt? No. I was hurt by watching what it did to people I know. That was hard to take. I will say that. That was difficult to watch loved ones and people that I cared about succumb to the lies and the deception. That's not easy. I thought people had more backbone. I thought they had more discernment. And I give myself credit. The very first time I saw Anthony Fauci on TV in Virginia in my brother's living room, I said, "The guy's a crook." The very first time I saw him, the very first time I heard anything come out of that sick, demented mouth, I said, "That guy is evil." I said the same thing about Bill Clinton and Bush Sr. and Bush Jr., Obama, Pelosi, Hillary, all of them. The Holy Spirit told me the very first time I heard them, "You can't trust these people." The best advocate we all have is our relationship with our Father, so that His Holy Spirit has a sway over us to assist us in our prayer life, in our ascertaining what's really going on in this world. That is the strongest thing you can possess today, especially when you're trying to figure out whom do you trust. Well, how about yourself and that beautiful relationship with your Creator? How about starting out right there? You don't need to go any further, do you? I don't. I read lots of news. I read lots of reports. I watch many videos almost on a daily basis. And some of them look legit and some don't. Just like this movie, Sound of Freedom. Yes, on the outside, it looks like it's for a very good purpose. But as some of the critical thinkers have said, well, wait a minute. We've known about this for decades. I talked to New York detectives clear back in the 1990s that told me they spend most of their time trying to recover children. Okay, so we've known about this for decades. And now all of a sudden the powers that be are going to allow a full-blown movie to be made? What is the ulterior motive here? Is the movie about something that's true and happening? Oh, yeah, probably. I didn't see it, but yeah, there is trafficking going on. There are children disappearing. Again, we've known this since many, many years ago. And part of the reason we have this problem is we no longer do God's will upon this earth, because we would track down these people. And even when we found out that they were billionaires or trillionaires or high political figures or sports figures, we would take them outside and hang them in a tree. We don't do that anymore, do we? And that's why we have a proliferation of crime, especially violent crime and sickening pedophilia. Because we're no longer obedient to our Father. Well, people, oh, Dan, you sound violent. Really? Yeah, well, maybe I am. In defense of the innocent? Yeah, okay. I'll wear that badge. I'll wear that T-shirt. Yeah, I am a violent man when it comes to that. Do I think it should be violence visited upon a man I find raping a young girl? Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, I do. I think he should have a sword put right through his stomach. I think a rope should go around his neck and hang him in a tree. So call me violent if you want. I don't give a damn, to be quite honest, because you lack empathy for the victim. Because you're so concerned of what the world might, quote, label you're actually allowing this crime to continue. You have more empathy for yourself than you do the victims. Well, it might cost me my job, Dan, or they might print up something in the paper about me. Yeah, that's true. They might. But what about your little daughter or your niece or your neighbor's daughter that's just been molested or raped by these pedophiles, or maybe even your son. You don't think that person deserves violence? I do. I believe in Yahweh's law completely. That person should be taken outside and executed. Then you wouldn't have so much damn crime. But, oh, after all, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? Yep. Yep, that's extreme, all right. But it's not extreme expecting people to put an untested serum that is causing death into their arms. That's okay. Or putting pharmaceuticals in their body that have been proven to be very, very harmful. Remember iatrogenic death? Iatrogenic death? Let that sink in. Iatrogenic death? That's death caused by the medical profession, either through malpractice, malfeasance, or drugs. Either the wrong drug or the wrong dosage. Iatrogenic. There's a word for it. How about that? And it kills, some estimates have, 700,000 people a year. That's before this scamdemic hit. Iatrogenic death in this country was the third leading cause of death. And if you include heart disease and cancer because of the misinformation coming from the medical mafia, they become the number one killers. Because if the truth were told about heart disease and cancer, you wouldn't have near the deaths you have today. So the medical profession is also guilty when it comes to that. But there's still people who worship those idols. They go down and see that lab coat and that stethoscope. Get down on their hands and knees. Oh, great God, tell me what's wrong with me. Oh, great God, which of the drugs used in sorcery and black magic I should put in my body? Oh, great God, please tell me. I'll overlook the 700,000 plus murders that you commit every year because, after all, I don't want to have a bad name called on me, and I don't want to have to trust Yahweh or nature or my own body, blah, 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 blah. Now, again, I've got family members who are on pharmaceuticals. I know people that have put them in their bodies, and I even know naturopathic doctors who will occasionally tell people to put a pharmaceutical in their body if they think that is the best approach. And there are a minority of cases where that may be true. I have not found it in my own personal life, but it could be true. So there again, Yahweh tells us to do no harm. Yahweh tells us to do what is right or righteous. And so all avenues, when it comes to your health, all avenues should be looked at. And then it's up to your heart's decision as to which way you should go. It's not mine. I'm giving you my opinion here because this is my platform. Every person listening to this has a right to create their own platform and give their own opinions. Or they're able to come here on this show and give a counter opinion. I have no problem with that. I've said that for the nearly 24 years that I've been on this airway. If you have a counter opinion, a counter claim to anything I say, please come on here and we'll either debate it or I'll just shut up and let you have your word. Because this program is about truth. It's always been about truth. And if I'm wrong, then show me where I'm wrong. But you better have your information straight before you come after me. That's all I got to say. And do not come after me based on emotions. You better come after me based on facts. The truth hurts. Trust me, I know. I've had people have beat me up with the truth in my lifetime. Yeah, you're right, it does. It hurts to know that you don't know what you think you know. It hurts to know that you've made mistakes. But that's life. That's why the Father tells us to accept it and pick yourself up and keep on going. Truth seekers. Proverbs chapter 3, subtitled, Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Again, Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What goes on the tablet of your heart? Kindness and truth. So you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh God and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. In other words, all those bumps in the road, he'll flatten them out for you. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence Yahweh and depart from evil. It will be health to your body and nourishment to your homes. Oh, I'm sorry, to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. Now here, let me stop there again. Your increase. You know, we have a lot of these so-called churches today talking about tithing, and they want 10% of like your wages, like the Mormons do. That's insane. The tithe was a percentage of an increase because the increase was assumed to have come from Father Yahweh. For instance, you invest $1,000 and it turns into $10,000. Did you work for that? No, you did not. You invested it, somebody else worked for it, and you had an increase of $9,000. So according to Yahweh's law, that increase, you would take a percentage of that up to, but never more than 10%. So $900 you would use in Yahweh's work as you see fit. That's what tithing is supposed to be. Not giving it to an organization, not giving it to a person, using it for the work of Yahweh in whatever way you see fit. If he blesses you with a increase. Your wages are not increases. Honor Yahweh with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise Yahweh's discipline, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he reproves, even as a father reproves the son in whom he delights. That's a big one to remember. Yahweh reproves those he loves. Why do we have this garbage going on around us? Because he wants his children to repent. But we are stiff-necked. Folks, are we not? Stubborn to a fault. People keep looking for solutions to the problems today, but do they ever look to the heavens and our Father? Nope. Do they ever consider maybe we should go to biblical law versus man's law? Nope. They keep going to the same charlatans, quacks, and criminals that run this cacistocracy and think that they're going to fix it when they created it. Our people sometimes are dumber than rocks. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's talking about the person that loves our Father. Trust in Yahweh forever, for Yahweh God is an everlasting rock. Rocks don't move. They don't change, do they? Neither does our Father. Psalm 13:5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. You know, the church world talks about salvation like this little ethereal thing that happens down there at the altar call. When the salvation spoken of in both Hebrew and Greek scripture has nothing to do with that at all. Soter in the Greek has to do with salvation from physical harm here and now. Here and now has nothing to do with what they're telling you at the church. Psalm number 9, verse 10, and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Yahweh, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who seek you. We forgot about that part. Psalm 40, verse 4, blessed is the man who makes Yahweh his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. Boy, does that ring a bell there with what I see going on in the world today. Philippians 4, starting at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Yahweh God. And the peace of Yahweh God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. The peace of Yahweh God, which surpasses all understanding. He gives you that peace, folks. The world isn't going to give it to you. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Hallelujah. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh God than to trust in man. Oh my gosh. Let that one be burned into your psyche. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord, Yahweh God, than to trust in man. Jeremiah 17, starting at 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh God, whose trust is Yahweh God. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. That's you and me, folks. When you're planted by a stream in water, who's the living waters? Oh, that's right, Yahweh God, or when he came to earth as Yeshua. He is the living waters that your roots should be sunk into, because then when the heat comes, which here in South Florida, by the way, it's hotter than hell. When the heat comes in the form of persecution, lies, deception, vaccines, lying medical people, lying governments, lying educators, lying media, lying sports celebrities, etc., you do not fear the drought. Right now we have a drought, the drought of truth and honesty. You can still bear fruit. Why? Because you are rooted in the living waters. John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in Yahweh God. Believe also in me. Words of Yahshua, of course. One and the same. Psalm 28, verse 7, Yahweh is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. By the way, I watched a movie, Ghost in the Ghost in the Shell. The Shell. It's the movie with Scarlett Johansson in it that is the predictive programming to set you up for transhumanism. Now, the interesting thing is, in this movie, of course, they take a beautiful woman to portray this desire of them to accept the idea of a human brain being put into a machine, and that this machine is somehow the person, okay? That's a huge assumption. The assumption, of course, is that the brain is the storehouse for our soul. That's a lie, folks. Just as it says in here, in Psalm 28, verse 7, in him my heart, doesn't say my brain trusts, my heart. You see, the enemy lies to us all the time. They want you to believe that just because your brain has been put into something, you're going to live forever. I got news for you. You have disconnected from our Father the instant that happens. If you think these monsters are going to create a body for you to live forever and stick your stupid ass brain in there, and somehow you're going to do that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Your heart, your soul is more than just a brain. And if you think these monsters that create these movies and do all this experimentation with all this dark money that you've allowed them to have for generations now, governments with unlimited budgets, they get into nefarious stuff like this. That's why the Founding Fathers said to chain them down with the Constitution. Limit their access to your money. Limit their access to these kind of stupid-ass programs where they think they can be gods unto themselves. They all should be taken outside and shot, every single one of them. Jeremiah 29, starting at 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Whoa, not your brain? When you seek me with all your heart. Here again, a conditional. You will seek me and find me when, that's a conditional, when you seek me with all your heart. Not part of your time, not part of your heart. Well, I'm going to give the government and the lying media 90%. I'm going to give Yahweh 10. That's not how it works. I will be found by you, declares Yahweh God, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is talking about Jacob, Israel, but it's talking about you and me as individuals as well. We've been exiled from the Father because we turned our backs on him. We believe charlatans like Birx and Fauci. We believe quacks like those in Washington, D.C., in the halls of government. All of them. They're all quacks and charlatans. And yet you put your faith and trust in them rather than the living God. So you are now exiled. That's what repentance is all about. That's what the marriage supper of the Lamb is all about. Bringing you back into the fold. Remarrying divorced Jacob, Israel. The divorced white race that went its own way, thinking they can accomplish anything without our Father. And yes, our ancestors had different names. It was called the All Father. He was called different things, depending on the culture. But we've turned our backs on all of it. We've become Jews, denying the existence of our Father. We've become Jews that don't believe in a life hereafter. And yes, it's true. Jews do not believe in that. That's why they want to make this world a living hell, because this is all they get. Psalm 112, verse 7. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in Yahweh God. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in Yahweh is safe. There's one for your bookmark. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in Yahweh is safe. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 31, starting at 14. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God, Elohim God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Hallelujah. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God, Yahweh, is with you wherever you go. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord, our God, Yahweh. Hallelujah for that. Some people trust in armies, bullets, tanks, F-35 fighters, you name it. They trust in all that stuff. That's what it means here. By chariots and horses means implements of war owned by what? Man-made governments again. Are they our friends? Hell no. Psalm 37, starting at 5. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. You want peace and righteousness and prosperity in our land? Repent! But we are a stiff-necked people. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, getting back to what you pray for, the will of God, because it is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. Every prayer should be for his will in your life, not yours. I'm going to tell you, the biggest mistake I ever made when I was younger was praying for what I thought I needed. Life changes when your attitude changes. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they who wait for Yahweh will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He gives a strength that you can't even understand, a power to keep going when the rest of the world would say stop. Romans 8, 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to whose purpose? Your purpose? No, according to his purpose. This is another one that should be bookmarked. Romans 8, 28. And we know that for those, again, conditional here, and we know that for those who love God, Yahweh God. Again, this is conditional. It's not for everybody. It says for those who truly love or revere or fear Yahweh God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Psalm 143, verse 8, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Yeah, every morning and every night should be the prayer, because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. None of us would. Proverbs 16, verse 20, whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh. Not the government, not the news media, not even the truth tellers. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Your greatest strength, your greatest defense against what's going on right now lies in your Father in heaven. Romans 10, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not the salvation talked about at the church now. If you make Yahweh king in your heart, not your brain, in your heart, your soul, you will be saved. Just like Isaiah 33, verse 22 says as well, Yahweh is our Savior. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Another one that should be bookmarked. Again, he's not a genie in a bottle. That if we ask anything according to his will, Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to Yahweh and your plans will be established. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. James 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, don't be what? Lukewarm. Isaiah 43, 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. Again, Isaiah 43, verse 2. What's it saying? Okay, same thing, Psalm 91, which is what we're reading next. You're going to see it all around you, but it doesn't come to your tent. There's a reason for that, folks. It's not a mystery. Psalm 91, otherwise known as the Soldier's Psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he will put his angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Obviously, words of Yahweh himself. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. He will be with me in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. I will honor him or satisfy him with long life. Does Yahweh want us to be martyrs? Hell no. He wants us to be warriors and victorious. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. Yahweh God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pour out your heart. Didn't say your brain. Of course, people don't have much mentality these days. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. And last but not least, Psalm 145:18, Yahweh is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free from what? Ignorance. Being taken advantage by the Jewish media and the Jewish liars that we are surrounded with. And if you haven't figured out yet that they're everywhere, whew, you haven't been doing your homework. These people are everywhere you look, whether we're talking about international banking, the Federal Reserve, the medical mafia, government atrocities, military atrocities, criminal activity, terrorism, you name it, transhumanism, pedophilia, all of it, organ harvesting, all of it, prostitution, drugs, all of it, organized crime, all of it. Gee, Diane, we don't know where to look for this tree of the root of evil. You know, there's so many things wrong. It's got to be complicated. We need, like, professional help to figure it out. Really? How many indicators does our Heavenly Father have to give you before you figure it out? Everywhere you turn, it's the same group of people and their ill-gotten gain and their phony, baloney, Babylonian money system powering and guiding everything that is nefarious in this world. I still have those. I don't know. It's pretty hard to figure this thing out. No. Get on your knees and ask for forgiveness and come back to your Father. That's a good start. And then maybe the Holy Spirit will help what's left of your brain function properly so that you can see the obvious around you. You won't be susceptible to the lies of the enemy. Yahweh and his Holy Spirit, folks, there's your answer. And may that Spirit energize us to be warriors and doers and not hearers only of the word, because that's why we're in trouble. You got to put what he teaches you into effect in your life, or it is no meaning at all. Faith without works. And remember this one now. It's important. Faith without works is dead. What do you think you're going to stand before the Father and show him on that day? Your intentions? Your thoughts? Or your deeds? Give that some thought. Okay? Deeds. Actions speak louder than words. I pray for that Ezekiel 37 army every day. That army, that huge army of the sons of Yahweh who have said enough is enough. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our folks all over this earth, your family, your children. We pray that the words will reach the ears that you mean it to hear. And we also pray that those that do hear it, that it is edifying, strengthening, encouraging, comforting. Because you love your children. We know that. In spite of what the world wants us to think, in spite of all the fears and the fear-mongering, fear porn, and all of the propaganda, it becomes so clear that you are the one and only thing in this world that is true. You are the one and only thing that can bring salvation to a sick and demented world, overflowing with evil everywhere you look. May your blessings be rained upon those who love you, who love truth and justice and honesty, who can reach out and show the milk of human kindness to one another. And may your vengeance and your anger and your punishment come down upon those who do evil and wicked things. We pray for thy kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, that this poor world would be cleansed of all of these negative, dark, and evil things, and that your righteous would shine forth, and that your people would be those that were put here to tend the garden to begin with. May they return to that sacred duty and do it properly and forcefully with discipline, but also with meekness and charity when it's called for. We pray for the innocent amongst us, the widows and the orphans, the disabled that are put upon and taken advantage of. Watch over them, Father, because the men seem to be too busy doing other things. The men seem to be too afraid of modern weapons and armies as if they could stand against us. May your courage fill our men that one day that army will rise out of that valley of dead and dry bones, and we'll take up our shields and our swords, and we'll put an end to the nonsense that surrounds us this day. To that end, we give you the glory again, Father, and ask you to be with us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And always we ask, as it says in Psalm 91, that you watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.